There we are. Here we are, recording Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. It's the Josephine County Board of Commissioners meeting with the City of Grants Pass. Mayor, Council President, and Manager for our City-County Monthly Update. We are in room 157, and it's just after 11. Got a few things on the agenda. Something that seemed to came up about 5 years ago. The patch of land between Ambassador and the city building, maybe to put a generator there. That goes all the way back to the Dave, Assistant Manager days.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I know we fenced it after some of the discussions too, just for trying to keep camping out of that area.
Right.
Though I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that anymore.
No, just loitering and illegal activity.
It's not a park, so.
It is not a park.
Right.
It is not a park.
But it is a space that could be utilized better than it is right now.
We talked about lunch area at one point too.
We did, and at the movement group meeting that we have at the county, talking about parking spaces and justice building now that the police moved out, that was one of the things that came up, that we could fence it, find a way to make both of our cards work, and have a break area there. And even kind of an outdoor meeting space if it came to that.
You're talking about Blue Zones Molas?
What?
So is it currently fenced except for just the one side, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got one up on your guys' side.
Yeah.
And the front.
And the front.
It has a hedge.
It has a hedge.
Right.
So it looks fenced, but it's actually just a hedge.
Yeah, I think it's just a hedge. But it's county property, so you know we'd be willing to keep maintaining it at a better level than you're seeing right now. But I'm thinking friendly landscape too, probably not grass, a little more hardscape for that area, so we don't have to try and get a mower in there and maintain that.
If you have any equipment such as tables or chairs or benches and whatnot, it makes it kind of hard to have a mower floating around.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we would have some tables and maybe some trees and, you know, we could green it up a little bit and plant something along the fence so it wasn't just chain link as well to help private that off. And so if you guys are interested, we could start looking into it is kind of what I was broaching the subject today.
So. It's your property, so you can basically do anything you want with it.
Well, I heard the city's building a whole new city hall. And so they're moving out and giving us the, just kidding.
Some brand new four-story.
Isn't that how rumors start?
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yep. When I took that corner office, Cheryl, Commissioner Walker told me, she says, well, I hope you get used to your friends out here because you're going to hear all kinds of new cuss words. You thought 4 years in the Navy did it for you? Not going to happen. You're going to hear some new stuff. You're going to see some new things. You're going to see some X-rated movies down there. You're going to see it all. She says, there isn't anything you can do about it. I said, you watch. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, first thing I'm going to do is turn the sprinklers on. Second thing I'm going to do, we're going to tear out all those little checkerboards that were down there and the benches. And all the benches, because all we're doing is providing a spot for them to do what they do. So we did. We gutted that whole thing out. But that was with the idea that that was a little break area for both city and county. And we said, well, let's go over to the other side. We even tried to save those cement checkerboards, chessboards, and move them over to the other side. They're sitting over there for a while. I don't know if they're still there or not. But that's what the idea was all along, is that city and county would have a fenced-in area, as you're saying, have a fenced-in area for a break room for city and county employees to go in there and have their lunch, because that's what that was designed to do, but it got taken over by the homeless again, like everything else that happened. And so that just, but it kind of just stopped, and maybe glad the movement committee was considering that, and thank you, Darren, for bringing that back up, because I'd forgotten all about it.
Yeah, and I just hate having spots like that sitting around for 5 years, and your wish came true, by the way. So anyway.
I'm happy to bring it forward, but I'm not sure, what would you like me to bring forward exactly?
Right, that you guys want to participate in
We want to
the space, so you'd have to help finance the keypad maybe donate some of the trees you guys have in your tree program, maybe do one of the benches, and we'll do the other three or something.
Okay.
To where we just get a little help. We're not asking you guys to do it.
Okay.
We'll take it over.
But if we're doing it, are we gonna do it right? I mean, to me, it, in this time of year when you would be outside, it beats down. You would need a trellis or something to dissipate the sunlight to make
shade.
Even a mister.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
or a missus.
They have
place
those.
To charge your phone.
Oh wait,
now
not
we're
that kind
money.
Of mister. Just kidding.
All right.
Would it be advantageous for like wintertime if somebody wanted to go out there in the wintertime to have a covered area at all?
They have a little covered area.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like a gazebo or something, if you want to go to that route. But I just want to be intentional that we don't do something half and it not be utilized. If we're going to do it, do it right so it could be actually, case in point,
committee.
We have our dispatchers over here, and they brought up the only place for them to actually take a break is where the smoking area is for employees in the back parking lot. So there's no place for them to have a healthy break from being in dispatch for 8 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so trying to find up a safe place. Now, that was something that when you guys moved, you built into some nice areas. There's courtyard, there's different stuff up there.
Yeah.
But for the city employees as well as the county employees, it's not too far to walk to have a safe break area. But it can't be the smoking area, and sometimes the trash cans are the smoking area right there. You'll see employees.
So it would be a non-smoking area?
I think so.
Absolutely.
It'd be like dining.
Yeah.
It'd be like dining. I know our public health is asking, they're going to be doing, not to jump off topic, but they're going to be doing a survey soon of our department heads about a smoke-free county properties again. And in the past, we've had a couple areas that are opposed to that, fairgrounds and parks specifically. Legally, it's kind of like your home, so you can do what you want in your camp spot because it's the protection of your home. But other campus properties and such, or other county properties, they're seeing if there's an appetite to have that be smoke-free. But I think even better would be looking at it as the outdoor dining is an extension of indoor dining. And so therefore, there's not smoking allowed in indoor, therefore no smoking allowed in outdoor. Unless you want your cigar, but just kidding.
Well, and this area is bound to change, not only with the ODOT building out the curb there, and I'm not sure what the plan is for the bus stop. I haven't even seen the temporary signs, so I'm surprised they're not fighting people parking.
We haven't heard from our two parking advocates downtown about taking out all the downtown parking.
Right. Well, and that's the next on the the one is the transit hub is part of that. Maybe not all of that, but I think that the activity level here is going to move as the bus stop moves, as the transit hub moves, and as that gets developed as a gated area. That it's going to end up much better for activity out there, which is a really soft transition into the transit hub location, which we've been planning for a couple of years anyway, at least a couple of years, and finally got some movement on that. But I heard something from your parking task force or something that wanted to relook at it, or maybe not. Because as far as we know, we're going forward with that location and have been for a few years now.
So you, all three of you want to keep looking at each other, or is somebody going to dive out there and say something?
Darren, what Darren said is true. Parking Task Force unanimously made a recommendation to relocate that hub.
To where?
So are they going to also provide the property that is owned and?
Are they going to provide the property and get the
I'm
grant?
The messenger. I'm not on the committee.
No, I'm not.
The
I'm not.
To
the parking task force was also notified that that was outside their scope. It was not downtown parking. Parking task force, and then also that this was something that the county had been working on for multiple years, and that they and that it's your project. It's not the city's project.
I think that. We have had conversations with our transit about why there versus some other locations downtown. And one of the keys that I've had others say, you need to just do it between 6th and 7th Street. They specifically actually need to get off of 6th and 7th Street in the one ways. And some of the traffic congestion that it creates by having them on the state highways. But they intentionally are trying to keep it in the downtown corridor, keep it off a block so it's still within access to the downtown, but without creating the traffic hazards there. And they do have to go through a process of different things to continue at that project to see. But I found it interesting that there is a parking lot across the way and it's being sold for development, so potentially taking out parking within two blocks.
Which parking lot?
Corner of D and 7th.
Behind Powderhorn, kind of?
Behind Oregon Books.
Yeah, so Paul Brewer owns that entire block.
Paul True?
No, that's Dave True.
Dave True.
Is his
partner.
Well, no, it's his employee.
Oh, got it.
He manages his properties in
got
Grants
it.
Pass because Paul, the owner of that property,
got
doesn't
it.
Live in Grants Pass.
Ah.
And I've known for years, because I've met Paul a couple times, that he's had his eye on redeveloping that entire block.
Yeah.
And so.
Interesting.
Except for that old PP&L building.
Correct.
Yeah, that one they can't
leverage. He could not get a hold of.
I guess they offered free power forever.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of servers in there,
they
so
do.
Why would they ever get
right.
it?
He tried super hard to get out.
Is that where
Rentec?
Yeah.
Rentec.
It used
direct.
To be the Rivoli Theater.
What?
Well, I
that's going back.
I know that we want to be mindful of
yeah.
of the parking concerns in that area. I try to be watchful of when I'm going through the area. What is the parking? Like today, as I was coming for this meeting, there's four cars in the area on the street, and one of them looks like it may be abandoned. The other is, you know, there for the day because they got the shades out, they're ready to go. And so we're Commissioner Fowler's on the radio today that he's noticing employee parking in that area.
Seeing and, the same cars.
But it's not, I don't know, you know, the concept was brought up that if the tower develops, they'll need more parking. Okay, well, the if is not what we're planning for. I mean, we do plan for some of those things, but if they're putting a parking lot in the middle of it that has spaces, will that accommodate what's coming out off of the street or not? I don't know. But I think it is important that we make sure that we are working with you guys, and they are going through your process.
At the planning department, yeah.
Yeah. So if there are requirements, I'm sure the planning department will walk them through that.
How did the parking committee respond to the restaurants all moving out onto the sidewalk and then the barriers out in the middle of G Street, taking up all the parking along G Street, and then the barriers moving out on D over here, and the barriers moving out on 6th Street? How did they respond to that?
The task force was already completed their tasks by the time we were implementing the parklets. We've done a survey of the downtown businesses. We have about 100 and so emails we send the survey out to, and received a good response back. But they were the majority, I'd say, high percentage, around 80% or so, were in favor of continuing the program, or making it more permanent, or doing it just as a seasonal thing every year. And they saw the benefit in what it provided. There were a few responses that were against it due to parking and or disruption. Yeah, only two or three.
How does ODOT
the survey
about
did
that?
Come back. And
did you ask ODOT?
Well, we had to get ODOT's permission.
You did.
We had to get ODOT on 6th Street. The rest of them, we did not have any ODOT permission. But it was it's been favored. And actually, I just received two emails from two restaurants that are on G Street, really trying to lobby for it to continue into October, which I'll ultimately be bringing forward to council when we give the towards the end report to see if council wants to extend the program or not.
Well, and Grants Pass seemed to be put the tables in the parking lane, And then ODOT was put the sidewalk in the parking lane? Was that the difference, or?
Yeah, that was the main thing, is ODOT wouldn't allow for dining activity in their right-of-way, but they would provide for thoroughfare of pedestrians.
Right, okay. Which everybody seems to be getting used to.
Yeah.
Did you have something, Director Brandis?
Does the parking committee exist at this point?
No.
No.
Okay, because Scott Chancey talked to them quite a while ago, and he said their response to the transit hub there was positive. So I don't know when this came up with this. I know that there's at least one individual that's very excited about it, but he had this discussion with the parking committee, and he said it was 80% plus in favor of go for it. So he's going to be there for this city council discussion on the 4th or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll put something together, but I think the other argument is buses reduce cars is the argument. So I think there's an argument to say maybe this reduces the traffic level downtown. So it feels a little 11th.
We've had two parking task forces. We had one originally a number of years ago, back when you guys were actually planning this, and that could have been the task force that we went to.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we recently had one that was put together just to review some things in the downtown area.
Yeah.
Because we had a consultant come down, and so the task force was formed to review his recommendations.
Yes. So we've had two since that time. I mean, it could be that he was talking about the first part of the task force.
It went back to 16. So he'll be there for the city council on the 4th or whatever. He and I go, so we'll have a presentation.
Second.
It's the second.
I think it's the second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second. September 2nd.
31st.
Yeah.
Wednesday night.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the long agenda, but we've got plenty of time to talk. So.
Oh, I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
When we come in, this is what we get. It would be nice if we had your agenda in advance, because I was. We didn't have anything to submit at this point because we didn't really know.
Okay.
How is that process done?
Well, I emailed everybody and I only heard back from Darren, and then I have until about 10:30-ish on Monday to finalize that and put the agenda up online and in the hall.
Well, if you would email us.
Well, so I want to be careful. It's not for us to email each of you guys at the city individually. She emails Karen usually to solicit that feedback from you guys. So if there is somebody different, we should be emailing.
However you do it.
Yeah.
The three of us need to.
But
know what
they have
is.
Emailed Karen in the past asking for agenda items.
We got that.
This time I emailed Karen and all three.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Just to make sure everything got.
Yeah, we got that.
We didn't hear anything.
We didn't have anything to submit. But the finalized, we did not get.
Okay.
Yeah, if we're going to do this on Tuesdays, we should try for Fridays.
Yeah.
And give them a little extra time since it is a joint meeting and they are volunteers. They're not sitting in their office waiting for an email to come in.
It'd be helpful too to find out like the space between Ambassador and City. You brought that up. Just put your name by it.
Who
submits it? You know, the mayor wanted to look at the transit hub location or smoking in the park or whatever.
Or it could at least be from the commissioner's side or the city side too. But I get you. Well, and it is just a chance for us to talk. We certainly aren't deciding anything. We could decide something, but you guys have a few more people to ask.
Did you get a chance, Mr. Kubik, to call Coeur d'Alene, Idaho and figure out how they took care of their transit problem?
The places like that, what they've done is they've provided accommodations and facilities, but normally they're in strategically selected locations.
That's what I was asking, because you heard back from the Supreme Court that you can't get people out of a public park, and it's probably, if you flip the page, it says because you don't provide any place for them to be. And it may be an idea to just say, okay, we're going to take one of the draws up there, one of the drainages in Dollar Mountain, And that's going to be your, basically provide some services for homeless up there or somewhere, I'm not saying Dollar Mountain, just someplace. There may be an opportunity to say, okay, we, you know, you're coming to town, yeah, I'm going to sleep in the park. No, you can't do that because we've provided a place for you. We've mitigated the situation downtown. Well, that's why I asked you to call Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
That actually came up. That question came up when the attorneys that are representing the city in this lawsuit came and spoke to us. And that question was raised. How about if we designate whatever?
Wetland.
We were there.
Just like, treat it like a wetland.
And they said, absolutely not.
Did they just say that right off the top of their head or did they research it?
Well, I mean, they are in support of, they're representing us, they're in support of, they think that we're in the right, we have a leg to stand on, and their recommendation is to not do that.
So what was their recommendation for mitigation? Just leave it like it is?
Well, it's not resolved yet.
Yeah.
It's not resolved yet.
Certainly enforce the rules that we can with regard to littering, camping.
Fires,
camp activities.
Yeah. There's some, sleeping is okay, camping is not, littering is not, public urination, defecation, obviously not, okay.
Yeah.
Cooking, not, fires, no, so.
You're absolutely, and honestly, that town hall we had, those were the things that we were saying to address, that when you have people physically confronting people and demanding donations or defecating on their patio furniture at their business or confronting a business owner as she's trying to take the trash out, that's criminal activity. And it's not just being homeless and residing on the streets.
Yep.
It's other issues. And so, I mean, we're seeing that in Portland right now. Peaceful protesting is not throwing balloons full of feces at police officers. And so defining the difference and speaking to truth that a right to peacefully assembly, a right to be in an area is very different than causing damage and creating damage to property and people. So,
and putting people at risk is not allowed.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be allowed.
No. I mean, that's the whole thing is that.
But who do you call when you have the guy and, you know, he's obviously homeless, down on his luck, A, B, C, D, E, all of the above, and he's sleeping underneath that tree on the backside of Fred Meyer. And he started out with just a little bit of stuff, and now there's a spot probably almost as big as this part of this table of all of his refuse and stuff, and he just throws stuff out from underneath the tree, and that's where he stays. And when he leaves, he just leaves a bunch of crap behind. And then there's another one over there between my Duff brothers on Agnes. There's a little patch of brush there, and there was some people living right behind that. And they're gone for a day or two, and then they come back, and they're there one day. And it's an absolute pigsty. One day. And they, I don't know, somebody asks them to move, or somebody comes by and cleans it up. But if we don't have... The warming center, I'll use the warming center. Great idea when it's cold, but then close the warming center during the day to clean it or change the sheets or whatever they're gonna do, and everybody move right out onto East Street along the little strip of grass next to the hedge. Did you do anything? Sure you did. You brought it right out in front of the people again. And that's,
well,
I don't know whether that's, if that's the image, you know, that Grants Pass wants, fine.
Well, the question I have is
I don't know what to do
is
about
that tree behind Fred Meyer and those bushes behind Dutch Brothers, are they private property?
Fred Meyer is, yeah.
The thing I heard you say, Commissioner, is we, and I think we is looking at this table, not the appropriate we. If you really want to talk about homeless issues, you need to have a lot of different players at the table for us to even have an informed discussion on this, because right now we can address some of the activities that are illegal or against a code that are associated with something along those lines. But when it comes to true homelessness, we need the right players at the table to have a discussion about this, because ultimately it's not the charge of the city and not the charge of the Board of Commissioners in our charters to develop homes for individuals, but we all have a part in this issue, and the we is not here to have an informed discussion.
Is this something that falls into Kelly Wessel's arena? for instance?
Can I jump in? I have information for you. So I was recently contacted by Andy Smith with Association of Oregon Counties. Oregon is about to put $60 million towards a project that California has put $550 million into called Turnkey, Operation Turnkey, where some hotels want to sell their properties. But they, under COVID, they've used funding to first rent and then purchase some of these motels to have non-congregant shelters, so where people can have their own rooms during COVID. And the idea is that you would have a nonprofit or a group like UCAN or Rogue Retreat or whoever that body be to manage it. And then once COVID is over, it would continue to be shelter or housing availability. And Oregon is looking at doing $60 million for this project. And they reached out to us. And I sent out an email to AllCare, UCAN, you know, the different groups to say, okay, is this something we have capacity to do? Is this something we would do? And they said, yes, it is something of interest. They're looking at what hotels potentially are for sale in the area so that we would have a plan in place when the funding is available that we could maybe do something. So that's kind of the approach that Oregon's looking at it for right now, is this Operation Turnkey. I could forward you the information sheet that I got from the Association of Oregon Counties on the project. There was one hotel on Rogue River Highway, like a motel, travel motel, that was for sale, and Junction Inn may be a possibility as far as just countywide looking at options. But if the system were in place and the plan were in place, when the funding is available, potentially we'd be eligible for it.
Very interesting thought.
In San Francisco, tried the operation of opening some hotel rooms for non-congregant, and the rules were so lax that they eventually had to say, it isn't working.
Yeah, and I think the COVID has obviously exacerbated this whole transient situation.
Yeah.
And just the awareness, American people say, hey, it's starting to get somewhere where we need to do something because of the intrusion on other people's freedom to be able to walk down the sidewalk in places like San Francisco. So, and I know you guys are in process, so we can't really get very far. You're still talking to your legal advisors on that, so we can't really get to a solution yet until it's resolved itself. And so I get that, but how are you and your employees surviving this COVID restrictions now that they've come into the offices and said you can't walk to the bathroom without putting on a mask? Of course, you guys have an indoor courtyard. That helps a little bit, I suppose. But are you sick of it yet, or are you just loving it?
No, I think for the most part, all of our colleagues are dealing with the guidelines as they come forward, but of course we'd rather have it before COVID ever hit and have a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Well, and certainly with school coming up, I'm seeing a lot of tension in families' faces about this, and they're talking to us about it. My daughter's one single parent who's got a first grader, so grandma and grandpa have had to step up this spring to help cover some of that, but not everybody has those resources, and so for whatever reason. And so I can't believe they haven't yet settled what's going to happen with schools at the state level. Right now they're saying Grants Pass and Josephine County are making all the matrices that we need to make and have been making them for a while. It's only the statewide number that is not being met, and we're saying, well, what happened to the regional approach? If we're making it and Curry County's making it and Douglas County's making it, I'm not sure about Jackson anymore because they had quite a surge. But that statewide approach is the one that I've been pushing the governor's office about, saying, hey, you said from the beginning we were going to do a geographic approach, and I haven't seen it since then. And so I hope the kids are able to go to school even if it is just K through three, but they're already talking about messing with that and say, oh, no school on Wednesdays, letting you off an hour early every day. And that really messes with
did you see the
structure.
The school sent out their plan yesterday. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one
yet.
Yeah,
I got a text message.
My daughter usually sends it right back to me, so I'll have to get on her. So is it the final answer?
Well, I don't have a kid in school.
You're one out now.
I just kind of browsed a little bit, but I got it. So it's the latest, it's the latest greatest.
I didn't get a copy.
I can probably forward it to
you. Yeah, we discussed it as a middle school and high school coaching staffs and how it affects sports yesterday evening. So.
And I haven't heard the newest. Last I heard it was November, but I haven't heard what the one was from yesterday.
It's November.
Yeah, and for us, one of the things that we've been bringing up the last couple of weeks is the fourth graders, the nine-year-olds that fall into that. They're not able to go to school, but they're also too young to legally be home alone. And so that's having a huge impact on families. And so what do we do with the nine-year-olds? I brought that up to the state 2 weeks ago, brought it up. I know
I did last week.
You know, so we're kind of trying to make sure that we're, you know, why the third grade mark, why not the fourth grade mark, just to make sure that all kids that can't be home legally alone are covered for school. If it's a matter of having to provide more space for them to go to school so there's more distancing, if there are other options out there. I mean, look at how many churches have classroom-like settings for Sunday school and such, but they only use them on the weekends.
You probably run out of teachers, too. If you only have 10 per classroom.
Well,
it used to be 30 in a classroom, but one teacher did 30 kids.
Is it down to 10? Because I thought it was supposed to be one kid per 35 square feet.
I guess I thought it was 15, so that's a notion of how the goalposts move.
Yeah.
That we have three different numbers.
It changes from day to day almost.
Yeah. Well, and what I had heard, it's one kid per 35 square feet, and so what they did is take the dividers out between two classrooms, and it's double the classroom size to get the same amount of kids.
I can text it to you.
But
that's fine, too.
Anyhow, so we're trying to make sure that I've reached out to both Kirk and Dave about some broadband ODE grants as well that they're on, as far as trying to make sure that, you know, so we've heard that up to 1,400 kids in the county don't have access to internet. But bigger concern that we have from the Three Rivers side is that we have a substantial amount of students that if they don't catch the bus, they don't get to school. They don't have the ability from home to get to school. And if they also don't have internet, they don't have the ability to get to school to upload and download their assignments. And I've also heard from some special needs students that their kids are just not engaging online. So trying to make sure that we're not losing kids in the gaps and in the process of, and keeping kids engaged in school is not easy. I mean, think of how many kids want to be done with it by high school. And from a county side with criminal justice, 10th grade completion is an indicator for future criminality. And so if they can finish the 10th grade, how do we, you know, engage that? I thought about seeing if we could still push the Youth Pathways Partnership, that opportunity for interns, because the numbers are still small usually, then you can have one intern and still doing that workforce and that's still interest in job development while they're still in school. But I mean, it kind of all of us stepping up and saying, hey, it's our community, we care, how are we supporting it and helping, even though I know it's not our responsibility. And the school districts are doing the best they can because the goalpost is changing. I know our public health department has been regularly meeting with the school districts on their plans and trying to make sure that they're offering any assistance they can.
Are the two school districts talking to each other so it's consistent, Three Rivers to District 7? Or does county schools got a different set of rules? City schools have a different set of rules?
They have the same set of rules. It's a matter of how they can meet the rules.
Yeah, how the school board chooses to.
That's right. That. Policy.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're talking. I'm not sure. I'm sure their associations are talking, but I don't know if our two individual districts are. I suppose they're both really busy.
Yeah.
Trying to come up with plexiglass and arrows on the floor or whatever it takes to make some of those criteria. But this is obviously going to be a huge bubble in our education system. We're going to have a group of folks that have gone through something totally different than everybody else went through. And that's not just first graders. you know, that's K through 12. And so I know private schools are popping up. I hear some ads on the radio. And also some churches are considering what to do, whether they should start a school, just do daycare, become internet access locations for parents, grandparents, for those kids.
You heard the New Hope ones?
I heard the New Hope commercials,
yeah. Yeah, we're going ahead.
Going forward with full classroom.
Yep.
New Hope School?
Yep.
Yep.
And that ads on the radio, I've heard them like half a dozen times.
I know, but I think it's 250, and so if 100 people sign up, that might put them right over the limit, and they'll be under the restrictions all other schools are.
Right.
And so they may have to stop at 249 or whatever. What an interesting time to have to worry about stuff like that.
It's bizarre.
It is. Well, and some kids are going to get ahead because they either have a parent that can stay at home or a grandparent that's interested or an aunt or an uncle or something, and they're going to push them towards taking advantage of this time to accelerate their education, because there's a lot of online opportunities outside of even just the school district's offerings.
But if they have access to online.
That's why the gap's going to start widening.
Yes,
It's going to be hard to watch, because that's exactly the opposite of what we've been trying to do.
And the price didn't go down. The cost is still the same. You're not getting
you won't get
your
any
kids extra. Educated. You're doing it at home, and still in October, you're going to have to be paid for the whole thing.
Still $11,000 per kid in Oregon. We'll see. It's going to be interesting what it does to colleges, too, on top of that, to RCC, not to mention the other ones in our
SOU
area, OIT and SOU.
They're doing mostly online.
Which is good for a lot of folks, but there's some stuff, of course, is hard to do. A dental hygienist is hard to do online.
The last I heard, SOU was good.
Massage therapy.
Yes,
online. But laboratory work and other things were...
That's the same as RCC. It's interesting, because I just watched my mom finish college Wednesday night, and she, through this COVID thing, had enrolled in an in-person class that ended up online and had a great experience with a professor that was engaging and doing Zoom meetings with small things. And then she registered for a traditional online class for the summer, and the teacher was like, well, you signed up for an online class. You shouldn't expect so much from the teacher. And I'm like, wait, everything's online. What are you talking about? So it is interesting to see the different cultures around the language of it. But I for me, it's still workforce development. How do we help in the community with our students and workforce development? That's kind of where it comes back to us. One other thing I wanted to bring up with you guys that got brought to my attention from some citizens. Your staff did not file a complaint whatsoever, but they had put in a permit with our county, and there were some issues holding it up, specifically a state law that the state had so many days to review it, so it was just kind of sitting in our office. I wasn't aware, but Commissioner DeYoung and I were both contacted by citizens. We both got involved. Our director got involved, and he reached out to one of your directors, and supposedly they got it handled. So just wanted you to know we weren't aware of it, and your staff was very apologetic that it even got brought to our attention. They were like, we weren't, no. I said, no, citizen brought it to our attention.
Yeah.
But now that it is at our attention, let's see what we can do. And they were able to come up with this situation. So, if there are those other ones, please let us know, because what we were told is there's director's decisions that can be made, and oversight and looking into those things that even they weren't aware that it was sitting there. And we want to make sure that we're always being a good partner.
Sure.
And so just wanted you to know that when we found out, we got it handled.
Okay. Cool. Well, and something I wanted to add, I've said it before to the commissioners, but I don't know if I have to you guys. A plumber friend of mine who has kids in school was put it pretty simply for me. He said, there's just something about getting up every day and going somewhere and being accountable to people, where you have to show up and you have to face those people every day. And that's what school is, which really prepares you for real life, because isn't a job having to go somewhere and be accountable every day? And so that's one piece that doesn't get spoke about as much, that that part is going to be missing for this season. And so I hope things like Kung Fu can open back up. Soccer on an outdoor field for recreational, for six little kids to run around, why can't that happen? And so there's a lot of what ifs that we're going to have to go through. But I can't imagine the sports fields in the spring if everybody's going to play at once. track.
It's a scheduling nightmare.
Soccer, football, yeah.
Taking three seasons that last year-round and getting it down to a season and a half timeframe and getting that all taken care of and how the playoffs, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be, and also in terms of the kids, individually being in a group and socializing and learning social skills is really important as well. Not only being on a team or something like that, but just interpersonal skill sets are vitally important to hold a job.
I'm afraid that the carpet's just going to be pulled out from underneath these kids.
There's going to be a big hole
in their life. They're giving them the hope that, okay, we're going to have this thing. I get my season in the spring. You know, keep their hopes up, and then.
Yeah.
Well, you've got young kids that are going to be seniors, and it's not going to be a great point average as seniors. It's going to be pass or fail. You've got kids that are in the sports programs, and you know what? I'm going to have a draft because you didn't have any recruiting going on in the high school level for colleges. You're not going to have any recruiting in the college levels for the pros. And sports is a huge, huge part of our society.
Yeah,
baseball, football, soccer, it doesn't matter. Track, all of it. And that's all going away. Why? Because of COVID. And I start thinking, gee, am I questioning COVID? What caused this whole thing?
Well, just
and the information we get on COVID.
You know, Grants Pass has a very robust music program too. And,
Yeah. My niece has canceled. They canceled the spring concerts, and they've already canceled the fall concerts.
Yep, my niece is in the band program at the Grants Pass High School. She's in student government at Grants Pass High School. This is going to be her senior year. Ain't going to happen.
Not much of a senior year, huh?
Ain't going to happen. And it's absolutely heartbreaking to watch her because she is really interested in political science. She's way deep into politics. But nope, can't happen. And just cut the whole thing short.
Yeah, so we talk more about the physical.
Because of a computer model.
We talk more about the physical part of the COVID and not nearly enough about the mental and the social part of it, which is.
But I think we're having that discussion all over the place. It just, you know, everybody knows what the problem is.
It's not in the education conversation.
I think society as a whole is now looking at, just what Taylor is talking about, the impact of the lockdown and the big changes that is the virus the real cause, or is it bad decisions?
Sad part about it is that we wrote a very comprehensive letter with our concerns, and look what happened to all three of us in the paper. Oh, Darren Fowler's a doctor now, huh? And I just, you know, it doesn't matter what you do on these three seats here, and your seats also, is you just get beat up by people out in the thing. They don't,
well, if
like you, the courthouse conversation, you, they're crying in the bucket.
If you've heard me at the last couple council meetings, I said there are people that want to create chaos. They thrive on it. But they don't, but the point is that chaos gets us nowhere. We have to work together to move forward. And if we lose that working together, it has a long-range impact.
Well, we have 150 cases of COVID since it very began, so that means that there's 86,850 people that don't have COVID in Exactly. Exactly. County.
Exactly.
We have a 12% unemployment rate. That means there was 88% of the people who are still working, still paying their rent, still paying their bills. Half full, half empty. You can look at it either way.
Yep, exactly.
But as I've said many times in our meetings, our silence is our consent, and we don't hear a lot around the state, except for different micro groups saying something. There isn't one voice coming out of the commissioner's office or out of the mayor's offices. There's just sporadic
League of Oregon Cities
nitpicking, and it's not getting us anywhere, because anytime I say something to the governor on our weekly call with 36 chairs of the county, she doesn't respond to anything I say because it's not in her favor. So she goes on to the next person and, oh yeah, that's nice of you to say, thanks. But 2 weeks in a row, I've got blank silence. After asking for her to form a task force out of the legislature to give some oversight, crickets. Because she's doing this from her own office with a group of medical professionals that we don't even know who they are. Coming out with these decrees as governor, this is what we're going to do, and then basing it on testing, which is the worst matrix possible. Doesn't have anything to do with how many people are getting sick. We had, like you said, over 150 cases. That's less than one a day in those 5 months, and only two deaths.
I get frustrated about the amount of obituaries every night in the paper. And our paper gives somebody's 83 years of life on this planet, gives them 1.5 column inches is all they will give you. The rest of you have paid for above that. But yet, the two, and one of them wasn't even from here, and every case is front page above the fold every night.
Yep.
And then it goes from bleeds from there to page 5 for another 3 or 4 columns explaining the whole thing all over again every night. It's the same thing. It's you know, I feel sorry for the people that died, not the folks that died of COVID. I feel sorry for them too. But how many people? One good thing about COVID, it's found a cure for pneumonia. Nobody died of pneumonia the last 160 days.
Well, wait till November when we have to test for pneumonia.
I don't know what
flu,
the future holds for.
And
we could be in for a big
have a triple test
uptick, but I don't know that.
Remember when they were saying
I guess I gotta
the change of weather was going to make all this go away?
When right. The summer weather would
make it all go away.
I did get tested, so I am negative, by the way. Just to let you know.
I was negative as of March 17th.
You
I haven't
know.
Been tested since then. So it's been quite a while.
They don't want to even get close to me.
Anything else we can end on a sweet high note?
Yes. County Fair. The livestock auction, I went out there Saturday. I've never been to a livestock auction. It was kind of neat. It was amazing what the Active Club did and the venue they had out at Lawless's Ranch on the Applegate. The Active Club all went around the circle and all the kids came in and got a fist bump from all the Active Club members. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. I didn't know there was that many kids in that 4-H livestock program.
And that wasn't all of them.
And that wasn't all. They were down.
Their numbers were down.
And also the numbers were down on bidders and participants. But at the same time, I got a phone call, and I don't know how accurate the information was, on Saturday evening, and said that the former record was just under $500,000 for total sales. And with less bidders and less animals, their original estimate of what they did that day was $726,000.
Wow.
Money to the kids. The grand champion steer. I watched two sheep go through because they did the sheep first. And there was two sheep there that were 62. And the guy's, you know, he's rattling on. And I thought, well, 62 cents a pound, that's pretty neat. And the guy says, no. That's $62 a pound. I said, that sheep weighs $100, $1.50. I said, yeah, that's a $9,000 sheep they just escorted out of here.
Did you hear about the steer?
The steer was $46,000, $47,000.
Set a record.
For the grand champion steer.
The kid, I mean, it's just what's crazy is last year.
And that's something?
Yes.
It was really
the same
impressive.
Family won 2 years in a row, but last year it was the brother. This year the sister beat him out. And, I mean, could you imagine how overwhelming?
One of the Active Club members called me yesterday and said that somebody from the audience came in because they had refreshments. The Active Club supplied all the refreshments and stuff. They had a beer, you know, which is always good at an auction because it kind of loosens up the old purse strings. But they were serving beer, and then some guy came up and said, how much is all this cost in the Active Club? And they rattled off a number, and he went and brought back a manila envelope full of money. Said, here you go. I don't want anybody to know who I am, but
our community's awesome.
Wow.
So that, you know, that's the community we're living in. That's the bright side of this whole mess.
Yeah.
Is amongst all of the BS that's coming out on the tube, you still get a lot of excitement by the people in Josephine County.
Yep.
What makes it worth working for? There's a lot of people here that you don't want to work for because then they pick you apart in the paper. We've all been there. Gosh, Friday, I don't know how you Well, you got gray hair. You just started to look like Barack Obama. Started out with black hair and you got all gray hair. Now, welcome to the real world, senior citizen. But you know, then you get to watch that livestock auction and you watch the philanthropy there and you go, you know what? This place is still worth going to work for every day. It's still worth coming in here and getting beat up daily in the local rec. And you know, I think that we all, you know, Mayor, you get it. You know, Tyler, you get it. You get it. Brandis gets it once in a while. You name it. You know. But I think, you know, I get home and Pam says, well, you read the paper? Yeah, I read it at work. She said, what do you think? And I said, I wish I was drinking again, but I don't. I have a glass of lemonade, you know, and sit down and watch reruns of Gunsmoke or something, you know. But
I'm still waiting for that one time.
Championship axe throwing, you know. But it does. It makes me really feel good when you see something like that. And those numbers were just over the top. You know, Tamara did the virtual auction and stuff, and look at what, you know, as positive as that master plan is for the fairgrounds, as positive as that was, look at how it got turned around. The headline reads, nice plan, but no money. Well, guess what? Master plans don't have a money element to it. How many times, I learned that from you. Dream, but don't put a price tag on it. Just dream. I want to go with the family. Well, we're going to go to Disneyland. And the kids don't say, how much does that cost, Dad? No, you say, you know what? Let's all work towards that.
Yeah.
If we all want to go to Disneyland, let's all work towards that. You turn your light off in your bedroom, we save $14 on the electric bill, it's going into the Disney fund. Everybody gets to work at it. And we've got that here. We have that here. But boy, I'll tell you what.
Speaking of the
getting the word out in a positive way is just really struggling.
Yes, sir.
Can you just give us like a update on, because I don't know what's really going on out there.
What's that?
Fairgrounds.
The fairgrounds?
Yeah.
The master plan is, if you get a chance to see the presentation, it was on what we...
You can find it on a YouTube channel.
Okay.
The Just Make Fun YouTube channel.
Okay.
They gave
you
a presentation.
You need to look at that. We had a couple of hoteliers come in and speak with every one of us. And Tamara had invited one out. He said, I want to see this thing. So he went out there. And
so,
he, you know, And Tamara showed it to him, and when he got all done, she just sat back and watched it. Then we got all done. He goes, How do I get involved? How do we get involved with this thing? When can we start? What the heck did you just show me? And they were all, well, that fairground, you don't need no tourism dollars going to that fairground. Why? That isn't what it's for. Why? It's for our advertising. Went, where do we start? When do we start?
So on that topic,
yeah,
something that you guys can be a help to us is, you know, we have Public Works out there. They got a lot of land. They got a, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But we've talked about trying to come up with a plan to co-locate ODOT, your Public Works, our Public Works, for the sake of economy of scale, the sake of utilizing space. So, you know, ideally, if we're looking at the redevelopment agency or whatever the right term is for now in that area, a hotel where the Public Works is, to support the activities of the event center at the fairgrounds and the master plan would be incredible. And it would be something to get a lodging facility on the south end of town versus just at the two exits. The meeting space that could, you know, the potential of a business park in all that area to ring get back to it, or in enhancing those with businesses and such. Please look at the master plan. But I think this is something that we need to be at the drawing board together. We need to have a realistic thought of, is there things that we can do? And it's not to say anything about you guys, because Rob's in the back. They're doing an outstanding job in our Public Works department. It's a matter of, is that the best fit for it with the growth of the community? And where should that go? And how do we do it in a way that's economic and responsible? And we need to be planning for the future. We need to be planning where that movement is.
Yeah, you not only need to be planning for what's in the fairgrounds, but what about the support area?
But bring around.
That's not the fairgrounds' responsibility. They came up with a master plan and their footprint. It doesn't include the Racino. It doesn't include the property we got that could potentially be something on the riverfront. It doesn't, you know, look at the connections to the All Sports Park that they've talked about, that sporting event opportunity. really, we've been talking about it for a year. How do we have those plans? How do we have those conversations? Who's the right people to have those conversations? Because I think it is something that would benefit the city and the county and the community as a whole if we're actually talking about it in an intentional way.
One of the things that I think is a real asset between the county and the city is that it is in the redevelopment agency. Right smack dab in the middle of it, now whether that's by design or not, because it's so valuable. It's so valuable piece of ground, and I don't know whether we have best use on it right now. So that's where we really need to sit down and talk, because there could be some really serious dollars to upgrade infrastructure for what we have planned out there. So this is the thing. I think you're great idea. I won't go into the other part of today's meeting because we're coming to a close, and I just assume I'll talk about it anyway. But I think that you really do need to take a look at that master plan, because everybody that's seen it.
I think they're taking input on it right now, too, right? They're taking input on it right
now. Yes, everybody that's seen it goes, holy cow. One of the board members, when she saw the presentation, she said, could you stop? I need to take a second. She was just crying. She was crying. She says, are you kidding me? Place knocked it clear out of the park. They knocked it clear out of the over the fence. They did a fantastic job on what is the vision out there. Mark Overstein headed that up, and he's of course done this before with some fairgrounds up north. Great presentation. You need to look out and be prepared for the next time we come in. Maybe that might be a subject that we'd like to approach at that time. But you've got to see it.
I hear the bridge is coming along, or the tunnel rather.
Okay.
Haven't seen it, but the paper,
read
the story.
I saw a picture of it in the paper.
But yeah, and
looks cool.
I've had people at the YMCA gripe at me though, give us our parking back. So I haven't heard beyond that.
Yeah. Don't worry, it'll be all freshly paved.
Yeah.
They'll love it when it's over. We gotta go. Me and Lily got a 12 o'clock. So good
Thank
to see you.
You
guys.
Yeah.
Please don't be afraid to contact us in between, or if you have any questions. Dan's the liaison to Fairgrounds, so he could talk about, and Tamara Martin, our director, would love to talk. Let's go ahead and quit it.